something doesn't need to be complex in order to work. Nature is simple yet subtle. There could be nothing more simple and yet subtle as our breathing, adopting healthy breathing practices and seeing what it can do for our health.
Well, this is it, guys. The last show of the fourth season of the Global Wellness Summit podcast. As you may know by now, I'm Kim Marshall, the co-founder of Swell the Agency and a seeker of wellness stories. I must say, this has been quite the season. You've gotten twice the content, double your money, two times the info in each episode for the same price, which is free, which is always good. In this super cool episode, we're diving deep into the Global Wellness Summit 2021 trend, Just Breathe, by talking to the New York Times bestselling author and science journalist, James Nestor. James exploded on the scene in 2020 with his book, Breath, all about that involuntary action we do about 25,000 times a day and mostly take for granted. But of course, you'll remember that 2020 was a time when our very ability to breathe was under attack by both a respiratory pandemic and a social justice movement. But talk about intimidating. Turns out James has been interviewed everywhere. CBS This Morning, NPR's Fresh Air, the Joe Rogan podcast. His book is published in over 30 languages. He's spoken at Harvard, Yale, and Stanford. You know, I kept thinking, what new do I have to ask him? So check it out, because we had a pretty juicy discussion about everything from nasal erectile tissue to the true origins of yoga, all from the perspective of a wellness believer like you. Then we'll wrap up the episode with a how-to from a corporate breath worker. Yep, Sandy Abrams, who wrote the 2019 book, Breathe to Succeed, goes to corporations and tells them how breath work, you know, taking a moment, can help them lead better and function at their optimum. You'll go away with some tips and some exercises that might just change your life. Okay, let's take a deep breath. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Here we go. James, welcome to the Global Wellness Summit podcast. It's not often we get a New York Times best-selling author hot off the press right here before our microphone. So thank you for making the time.
Thanks for having me.
James, tell us, why do you think your book, Breath, that came out in May of the unforgettable year of 2020, was an instant bestseller? I mean, what's so new about breathing?
If I knew, I would bottle that up and then sell it to a bunch of other people. I have no idea. You know, you spend years and years working on a book in a little cave. My cave was a shed I built in my backyard, and you don't see the light of day until the book comes out. So there's so many things that come into play. I think luck has a large part of it. And the fact that here's a book about breathing that I'd worked on for 5-6 years that came out right at the beginning of a respiratory pandemic. So just the strangest coincidence in the world for me.
Yeah, you know what made me think of is that I heard so much coverage that COVID shone the light on a little known sense or a little appreciated sense, that of smell, because so many people lost it. And then they started to really value it when they didn't have it, right? But that could so be correlated to breath too, because it's gotten a lot of attention from COVID, right?
Absolutely. Humans are a reactive species. So it's only when we lose something that we start really understanding and appreciating it. And when we lost the ability to breathe through COVID, like, huh, maybe breathing is important. This simple, seemingly mundane thing that just runs on autopilot. What happens if we harness that? Where can it take us?
Right. Well, in doing research on just the word breath, I know you reference the words spirit and breath in the holy writings. And I was studying how even in Genesis, the Hebrew is, nephesh or something? And that God blew into the man, he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And they refer to a soul as a breathing thing. So what else did you learn about holy writings, about the word breath?
I learned that basically every ancient culture celebrated breathing as not only a spiritual act, but as a medicine. And you can go back as long as 5,000 years ago and look at the Indus civilization, where there are figurines of people in very specific conscious breathing poses. And then you can go into Chinese medicine, Qigong, and they're writing dozens of books about all the bad things that are going to happen to your body and brain if you breathe improperly, and all the good things that are going to happen if you breathe well. So this has just been a part of the fabric of human culture for probably even before that, you know, before we were writing about it, we were talking about it. And it's taken us a while here in the West to catch up, but now we have instruments to measure just how effective breathing is for mental and physical health. And that's what the book's about. And that's what I spent so many years digging into.
Okay. Well, I think it's really fair to say that the nose is the star of this topic because it's the first line of defense on our immune system. It's the channel that air, as you say, should come through mostly. It has its own microbiome. Your interview with Terry Gross on NPR, it was, I guess the most surprising part was to learn that the nose has erectile cells like sexual organs, right? So tell us all the jobs the nose has in the breathing realm.
Well, I need a couple of hours to do that, but I don't want to bore you. So I'll just give you the highlight reel. So our nose is our first line of defense. When air goes in through the nose, it's filtered, it's heated, it's moistened, it's pressurized, it's conditioned, so that when that air gets to the lungs can so much more easily extract oxygen. We get about 20% more oxygen breathing through the nose than we do equivalent breaths through the mouth. And if you think that's not going to make a difference throughout the day, you're crazy. So those are just a few of the functions of the nose. And it turns out as well, since you mentioned it, that there is no other organ more closely connected to our genitalia than our noses.
Man.
Coated in erectile tissue, both of them, and they respond in the same way.
Crazy. Now, I read something about the role of nitric oxide. Is that right? What is that?
That's it. This is this wondrous molecule that was studied in the 90s, and Dr. Louis Ignara won a Nobel Prize for his work with nitric oxide. That discovery led to things like Viagra. So the way that Viagra works is that it induces your body to produce more, guess what? Nitric oxide. That is the magical molecule that makes Viagra and Cialis and other drugs like that work, because nitric oxide is this powerful vasodilator. It opens blood vessels. It delivers more blood into more places. So our noses, just breathing through your nose, will produce about 6 times more nitric oxide than breathing through your mouth.
Wow. And I think you were saying that we should take, on average, 25,000 breaths a day, and at least 20,000 should be through the nose. Is that what you said?
Well, that's the average amount that people breathe per day. And there are significant benefits in breathing less than that. Instead of breathing more breaths and getting less oxygen, I'm suggesting in the book, breathe fewer breaths, deeper breaths, lighter breaths, and get more oxygen that way. And that's how it works out when you start looking at the math and you start looking at how the lungs and the human respiratory system works. We should be breathing low and softly. Look at any other animal in the wild. Look at your dog when it's sleeping. Look at how it breathes, how smoothly and softly. We should be breathing that same way.
Well, downward dog is the first lesson from the dog, and now breathing. Now, what would you say about the idea of making a ritual out of pausing to deep breathe on a daily basis? You know, like I think about the old days, people used to pray before a meal, right? And it did take a minute to change the energy in the room. Have you come across rituals like that?
Well, luckily we have machines that can measure what happens when we pause throughout the day and take a deep breath and focus on our breath. And what you're doing is you're activating your nervous system to relax. And that relaxation state of your nervous system function is called the parasympathetic function. And it is associated with digestion. So it's no coincidence to me that meals would start off with this slow, easy grace, where you just pause for a moment, relaxes your body, it gets your body prepared to digest food more easily. The idea that you're just picking up a hot dog on the street in downtown Manhattan and cramming it down, not very good for digestion and not really anything else. So breathing, this is not something that is just spiritual. I think that a lot of people have just understood it as a spiritual practice. This is our most basic biological function. So how you do it is absolutely going to affect so many different other functions in your body and brain.
Well, you know, this is the Global Wellness Summit podcast, of course. So our listeners are wellness seekers. And something that struck me, I think it was your interview with CBS this morning, you started to talk about researching breathing and how it relates to overall health. And the fact that far too often medicine has been treating all the symptoms and not the core problem, which, you know, sounds like why people turn to wellness and alternative medicine for natural remedies, you know, oriental medicine, whatever. What sort of diseases can really be linked to bad breathing?
You name it. If you're looking at sleep-disordered breathing, which is very bad breathing, you've got diabetes. Who knew that how we breathed would significantly increase our risk of having diabetes? You've got heart disease. You've got other diseases of chronic inflammation. You've got asthma, anxiety, panic. I mean, I can go on and on. Even weight gain, metabolic dysfunctions, ADHD, Alzheimer's. So we get most of our energy through our breath, not through food. If you don't believe me, hold your breath for 4 minutes and tell me how you're doing. So you need to take in that energy in an efficient way, or your body is never going to be able to function properly, no matter what you eat, no matter how much you exercise.
Well, you know, you make me think too. When I first started getting serious about the wellness biz, I guess it was in the early 90s, it's when words like, or mid-90s, like acupuncture, Reiki, yoga, you know, Rolfing, all of it, were all so new and foreign. And doctors would say, you know, we need studies to prove that they work. But alternative medicine gurus, on the other hand, would say 5,000 years of practice can't be wrong. And I noticed that theme in your work. When did the efficacy of breathing, of right breathing, actually start to be studied?
It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for clinical trials, if you're looking for random controlled studies, those date back at least into really started booting up in the 70s. There's some in the 60s and 50s. There's foreign studies looking at the effects of breathing on asthma. Those were coming out in the 50s. But you're also looking at, for emphysema, breathing. There weren't formal studies, but the work that Carl Stau did, there's x-rays. And there's the people before and after, and that's pretty powerful. And there's the medical establishment acknowledging that breathing is doing for these people what nothing else could possibly do. So the problem was and is today is a lot of this research is hard to fund. And this is what I heard from all of the researchers, because there's no money in it, you know? So much of medical research is privately funded. That's good or bad. That's the reality. No one's going to argue with that, right? Those are the facts. So when you're saying that I want to research something that costs nothing, that is available to everyone all the time, and that can significantly take care of the core issues that people are suffering from, there's no economic incentive. And not to sound crass, but this is what I heard from people at Harvard. This is what I heard from people at Stanford, you know, the leading institutions.
So that is an issue. I will say that one of the reasons breathing got a bit popular was that rock star Wim Hof. And you were on the program, I think, with him at the Global Wellness Summit. Can you tell our listeners what he is and who he is and what he's known for? Wim Hof?
I think Wim Hof has done more for breathing awareness than anybody in the past 20 years. I really, really believe that. He's done it in a very unique way, in a pretty macho way, in a pretty male way. But it's worked. And if you talk to people, I'm not talking about the muscle-bound dudes who just want to do it to get more ripped. I'm talking about the people who have been suffering from autoimmune diseases for sometimes decades, who were given absolutely nothing to improve their diseases. They were given basically tranquilizers, palliative medicine, which work. All that stuff works. It works for the acute problem, but you wake up the next day and you still feel crappy. So Wim showed them, and Wim volunteered to do any scientific study at any time. right? And that really scared some researchers. They're like, uh-oh, what are we going to find out here? And he's been in, what, a dozen different studies that have shown we can consciously take control of our autonomic nervous system, which is supposed to be automatic, as in beyond our control. False. That was proven. We can consciously control many aspects of our immune function as well. So Wim is a great showman. It's great to see him sitting in ice for 2 hours screaming. That's all cool. But what was most effective for me and affecting for me was to meet people's whose lives were dramatically changed, whose health, their incurable quote-unquote conditions were reversed, and they no longer are suffering symptoms. That is power. And that's what is inspiring about Wim going out and teaching this to so many people.
Yeah, I remember when he was at the summit in Palm Beach in 2017, and I thought, well, everybody's talking about how I'm going to go in there. And then we say, try this, try that. I can't do that. But I did it. I mean, he made me do it. So it was pretty crazy. Now, let's talk about, speaking of wellness, yoga's role in the practice of breathing and why you say yoga was a technology of breathing.
Yeah, not my words, not my terms, not my research. I am just a mere filter for this information. This all came from the top academics who have studied yoga, and they're the ones who told me, you know, vinyasa flow. I said, of course, I do it all the time. I love it. And they said, yeah, that's about 100 years old. So no yogi does vinyasa flow. I was like, what are you talking about? Every yoga studio I've been in, you know, has said, get ready. Here's an ancient practice. It's called downward dog. And then we're going to move into this pose. And there are obvious benefits from doing this, right? Just like there's benefits from doing Pilates, just like there's benefits from doing other stretching. It's not the original yoga. The original yoga was to sit very still and breathe. So this was a technology of harnessing your mind and harnessing your breath to bolster your health. That's what it was. It was not intended for sick people. They said it's too powerful. Sick people need to get well. Once you're well, we're going to put you up the next rung of human potential. That's what yoga was for thousands and thousands of years before it made it into all the gyms across the U.S. That takes a lot of patience, you know? And we all have ADHD, so we had to speed it up and make it active and put some music, you know, a musical backbeat to it.
Yeah, they always say that more people do today's yoga in L.A. than in all of India. Yeah, so I totally agree with you.
Very, very true. And it's surprising talking to so many Indians. They're like, Ayurvedic? I have never heard of that. So we're now researching it in the West and bringing it back to India, which is fascinating.
But it really, if you talk to, I mean, it depends on who you talk to, but some Indians are like, that's our kitchen, like home remedy, the Ayurvedic stuff that you'd have to go back a couple of grandmas to know about. But anyway, it's fascinating that it's all coming full circle. Now, speaking of yoga, can you give us some of the yin and yangs of breathing? You know how you do the alternate nostril in breathing? What are some of the parasympathetic, sympathetic? What is that about breathing?
So you're going to notice these patterns in different breathing techniques across cultures. If you look at more vigorous breathing techniques like Kundalini, different pranayama, Sudarshan Kriya, Wim Hof method, Atumo, on and on and on, what do they have you do? They have you breathe very intensely, and then they have you not breathe at all. And then they have you breathe very intensely again, and then to breathe very slowly, over and over and over again. And people are affected in the same way by these breathing patterns. They're called different names, but they do the same thing at the end of them. So what they're doing is they're stimulating the body and then relaxing the body so that you can start controlling your moods, so that you can control your nervous system function, specifically so that you can feel when stress is coming off and then get rid of it through breathing, through stretching. So there's a zillion different ways of doing this. Open up a book on breathwork and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's about 400 different names, but these are all variations of the same themes. Okay, well, let's just look at alternate nostril breathing. So You know, we were talking about nasal erections and the erectile tissue. It turns out throughout the day, one side of the nose will, that erectile tissue will become flaccid and it will open, and the other side of the nose will become engorged with blood and it will close. So every 30 minutes to 3 or 4 hours, your nostrils shift, okay? And you ask yourself, why would our noses possibly do this? It turns out that inhaling through your left nostril is very different than inhaling through your right nostril. So right nostril breathing is associated with body's heat, with increase of heart rate, with blood pressure increases. And this has all been measured, okay, in various studies. Left nostril breathing, inhaling and exhaling, is associated with calming the body. Heart rate goes down, blood pressure goes down. So what is alternate nostril breathing? What is it doing other than just gaming these natural systems of our body to coax you into a different state? That's all it's doing.
Well, I tell you, my husband and son both have deviated septums, which people will love to hear that you say, don't feel bad. About over 60% of Americans or people do. And I always listen to them trying to open their nostrils and breathe and allergies to cats and whatever. And I don't. I'm just like, wow, I thank you that I can breathe. But there are actual ways that people can help themselves through the day, right? With breathing exercises.
Without a doubt. It depends what you're looking for. If you just are interested in prevention and wellness, there's various breathing exercises. You can choose how much time you want to dedicate to this. If you have asthma, there's very specific breathing exercises, which work wonderfully. If you have allergies, there's different, you know, ones. So it really depends on what you're looking for. But what I tried to make clear in the book, in the middle of it, because this stuff is so confusing. Should I overbreathe? Should I underbreathe? Like, you're telling me two different things, but there is something that both asthmatics and ultramarathoners and diabetics and professional swimmers can all benefit from. It's breathing through the nose as often as you can. Doesn't mean that you have to be breathing through the nose 100% of the time. I'm breathing through my mouth a little bit right now. Who cares? I'm going to go back when we're off. I'm going to be breathing through my nose. Breathing slowly, light, and rhythmically, okay? Just breathing in this way allows your body to perform at this state of peak efficiency. And if your body is performing at a state of peak efficiency, it has more resources to restore and heal itself. And that's exactly what you want. So you can do this throughout the day, and it's especially important at night to be nasal breathing. Do not sleep with an open mouth. Bad for so many reasons. And this is something that more than 60% of the population does.
Yeah. And you took one for the team. You were part of a test. I've seen so many videos of pictures of you, but in getting your nose plugged and all of it. But thank you for doing that horrific thing so that we could all learn from it. How long did that last? 10 days?
It's 20 days. The first 10 days was complete nasal obstruction, where we became mouth breathers. And people say, oh, was this like a Jackass stunt? I didn't view it that way. If you look at 25 to 50% of the population is habitually mouth breathing, we were just lulling ourselves into this way of breathing that so many people already know. Go walk on the street and see how many people are breathing through their mouths. And then we spent 10 days, actually 11, 10 and a half days, nasal breathing. Primarily, almost all of our breath was through the nose. And I can tell you subjectively, there is such a difference. And the science has already shown us this, right? What we discovered was nothing new. We weren't proving anything. We were just experiencing it personally. And I feel so sorry for the people who are mouth breathing and don't understand why they're chronically congested and don't understand why their lungs hurt or their bodies aren't operating properly. It's really sad that, you know, the science has been there for so long, and yet no one's talking about it.
Well, we're glad we can help spread the word, because I will tell you, the cause, the core cause, and the chain reaction of so much of what we do. I also loved, I don't know who was interviewing you, and we talked about posture, and you talked about posture and the shape of the human skull. But it made me literally, you know, how we're all so folded forward to the screen. I was like, come on, Kim, reach back. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. How you breathe dictates your posture, and your posture dictates how you breathe. There's a quote from the Tao that says, What the bodily form depends on is breath, and what breath relies upon is form. When the breath is perfect, the form is perfect too. That's about 1400 years old. So they knew the connection between posture and breathing. And if you don't believe that quote, and if you don't believe what I'm saying, all I will ask you to do is take a very deep breath through your nose and just notice what happens to your back, what happens to your shoulders, what happens to your chest. Suddenly, everything becomes very straight and aligned. And that's how our bodies should be. If you look at ancient statues, and if you look at even pictures of people, hunter-gatherers or people living in indigenous communities, the way they were living thousands and thousands of years ago, their backs are perfectly straight. And so by having this straight, perfect posture, how easy is it to take a very soft breath in and out when you're in this posture? The answer is very easy. And so those two things play upon one another.
I took ballet for years, and I'm always telling kids, pull a string through your head, pull a string through your head and go up, pull your spine up. But boy, this breath idea is also very, very good, which brings me from the past to the future in tech. Do you use a breathing app to remind you to breathe right or no?
My job is to use every app and look at every piece of research and determine which one really checks out. So, it could be just a coincidence that since the book has been out for about a year, about 3 months after the book came out, 24 breathing apps came out, basically with all of the exercises from the book. And a few of them were kind enough to contact me. I said, I don't want to be the one, promoting anyone's product, because this stuff is free and it's easy and you can do it in any way. Luckily, a lot of these apps are free as well. So I don't want to mention one in specifically. There's one called Prana Breath that is really free and there's no ads and they're not tracking you. The UX on it is absolutely abhorrent, which is what I love about it. It's so basic, but it allows you to program the amount of time to inhale, amount of time to exhale. So you can put 4-7-8 breathing in there. You can put coherent breathing in there. You can put these exercises and it gives you this nice little tone that just goes boop. And so you don't have to sit and look at it. You just put it on your desk when you start the day. And I use that one quite a lot. Just when I said I wasn't going to promote an app, there you go. Sorry.
It's free. It's okay.
It slipped. Yeah.
We need tips. But, in the spa and wellness industry, the breathing thing, really, we took it to heart during COVID. I interviewed a wonderful colleague who has a spa equipment manufacturing design company. And they make massage tables mostly, but they have all the props too. So of course, all the spas were closed during the middle of the pandemic. So their salesperson said that hospitals were saying to them, we don't need massage tables, but we need your prone pillow. Because we found for pregnant women, because we found, as 60-something% or 70 of patients with COVID in the hospital were obese. And then they found breathing prone helped them, but they needed a prop. So they were selling these, it was really a nonprofit work to save lives. These pregnancy pillows were used to prone overweight patients so they could breathe. What are some of the other, what did I read about humming and treating COVID or something?
Well, humming increases nitric oxide about 15-fold. And it so happens to be that nitric oxide has been studied in, I think, something like 11 clinical trials to help people with severe COVID. They've been given nitric oxide, which is what happened 14 years ago with the first round of SARS. Dr. Louis Ignaro, amazing doctor, who won the Nobel Prize, as I believe I mentioned, he's been talking about nitric oxide and how powerful it is for killing viruses for a long time. And it's just nice to know that our noses can decrease the viral load. And if we happen to be humming, no one's running a controlled trial of this, right? You can't take 20 people and expose them to COVID and have one half hum and the other not hum and breathe out of their mouth. Not going to happen. So a lot of this is just people are trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But there are no negative side effects to doing these things. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to feel better because you're going to be opening up all those blood vessels and getting more oxygen that way.
We keep bringing up Wim Hof, but I read where people can heat up their own body in the winter through breathing, and you just said how they could do orthopedic breathing. So how would you do those two things?
Well, it depends on, again, what you want to do. If you look at the work of Katarina Schroth, she had scoliosis and was given a brace and a wheelchair and told that this is how you're going to live your life. She breathed her spine straight again. And this is all in pictures. And there's studies looking at this. Johns Hopkins still uses her methods to help people with scoliosis. She taught thousands of people how to straighten their spines with breathing. But beyond that, it really gets interesting when you start looking at Bon Buddhist monks who have used breathing techniques to sit in the snow for hours at a time and melt a circle around them, wearing nothing but a very thin sheet. Impossible, right? Totally made up. Can't be true until Herbert Benson at Harvard Medical School went out and measured them. And you can see the videos online, or you can read his study, the whole write-up in Nature, which is the most esteemed scientific journal out there. So it is, you can believe it or not, that's cool, but science doesn't really care about your thoughts. You know, the data is there.
Herb Benson was on a team of alternative breakthrough doctors that spoke at one of our early spa conventions with Andrew Weil and Larry Dossey. So he's the real deal for sure. Now, I also wanted to ask you, I think I read where your research on an earlier book about free diving started your journey on this topic, because free divers have to hold their breath so long underwater. I actually dated a guy named Flip Nicklin, who was, he's known as the world's best whale photographer, but you're right. He got so close to marine mammals to take these face-to-face beluga whales or what, because he was just holding his breath. What did you find?
That is where my interest in breathing really started to peak. And this was years ago when I was sent by Outside Magazine to write about freedivers, people who can do this, hold their breath for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes at a time and dive to depths of 300 feet on a single breath of air. And once I got to know them, they said, well, diving's only a part of this thing. Once you learn the art of breathing, you can use it to heal your body, to heat your body, to take control of functions you don't have access to. I thought it was complete BS until I went into the field and spent a few months. I said, I think this stuff is real. And my agent said, you are crazy. This is not real. Never going to happen. And so she was the first person I had to convince that I said, this is real. It's scientifically validated. This took years of me accumulating evidence to convince her, but mostly to convince myself that this was something I wanted to dedicate so many years of my life to. Writing books is, if you don't love it, it will destroy you. It might destroy you anyway, even if you do love it. So
there you go. Warning to those who are watching your career. Yeah, I love how you said the marine mammals see you as one of their own when you're free diving. And I remember I worked a lot in Tahiti, and those black pearl divers, they just go down there and open up the clams. Yeah, it's funny. Now, you know, I asked friends who read your book as I was prepping for this, how did breath affect you? And one of them said, I don't know, when I first heard Wim Hof at the summit, it started peeling back the layers of my skin to find a new person. What is this that the body can do? And then when she read your book, she was like, wait, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? So how do we make people calm down? I've read your 5 in, 5 out secret. Tell us what that means.
So calming down is one of the easiest things to do with breathing, because it's almost instantaneous. It depends where your interest and level is. A great thing to do for people who don't want to inhale and exhale that long is to take something that Dr. Andrew Huberman at Stanford calls and is studying. It's called a physiological sigh. It's two breaths, one on top of each other, and then you let it all out. So it goes like this. So there is a separate subset of neurons in your brain responsible for sighing. And when you do this, you stimulate them. And those neurons will help coordinate other symptoms in the body to relax. Think about a lion right before it goes to sleep. Gonna take this big sigh and conk out. My dog does the same thing. So we can do that. And sometimes we do that when we're very tired, we start sighing, but we can choose to do that at any time during the day. And it's a very quick way of rebooting things because you will breathe differently after that. It sort of moves you from one state of breathing into another. Another thing to do that Andrew Weil has made famous is 4-7-8 breathing. For some people, it's too long. It's an inhale to 4, hold to 7, exhale to 8. It goes like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I did it.
There you go. If you notice, you're inhaling for 4 seconds and you're either holding or exhaling for 15 seconds. So the vast majority of the time you are doing that breath hold, you're exhaling. When you're holding your breath and you're exhaling, you're relaxing the body. What's going to happen when you take these breaths that have that ratio of inhaling to exhaling? You're going to get very relaxed and tired quick. That's a great one to use before sleep. It's a great one that I have used quite often when things were open, when I was flying around. I was on an airplane and annoyed, as I often am on airplanes, but I just take a few 4-7-8 breaths. And there you go.
With your mask on?
Of course. I'm not talking now. I'm talking about the before time.
Oh, I was going to say,
I have been on one plane very, very recently though. And yeah, I used it then. Mask on.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm a girl and I don't know if you have kids. I think you have a wife, but girls have babies, right? And my girlfriend who...
I've heard about that, yeah.
Like breathing, it's just that natural. But my girlfriend is a midwife and she delivered close to 400 babies and she teaches birthing classes. And so I said, what did you enjoy about James' book? I got to be a better teacher because breathing is such a part of the birth process if you do it right, right?
Well, women in their third trimester need about, 25% more oxygen. And this is why hypertension is pretty common at this time as well, because you need more oxygen because you've got another person, right? And that person needs to be fed oxygen as well. And I think one of the most important things beyond nutrition, which is obviously so important, is to focus on breathing through these various stages. Understand the different needs of breathing and also understand how to breathe properly. It's no coincidence that Le Mans breathing, which has been around for 50, 60 years now, what is it but this relaxed, big, soft, light, deep breaths and out again, right? It's not, but you see a lot of women who are stressed out and they feel that need to get oxygen. So they start, that is not efficient. It'll raise your heart rate. It'll raise your blood pressure and it's not the best way of breathing. So that breathing education, both for the moment in which you're delivering, but also up to that, is so important. And I'm surprised it's not a larger part of the curriculum.
Yeah, well, just know this: the girls are going to pay keen attention to this chunk of the conversation. Now, James, let's just be honest. You have been interviewed everywhere. I know your neck is probably sore from all the looking and podcast talking and all that. But did you have any cultural surprises by the reaction to your book? I think it's, in 33 languages now?
The biggest surprise to me is I was expecting some pushback from the medical establishment. Not from the science, but whenever an acolyte, whenever someone from the outside starts writing about medicine, you're the first person that's going to be slammed, right? I don't have an MD. I was writing in, knew nothing about the subject at all and had to figure it out as I was going along. But the biggest surprise was that community, the opposite has happened. And I've been lucky enough to speak at Harvard and Stanford and Yale and you know, all over the place. And that's where I think the real change is going to happen. You know, there's some gaps in our research and breathing where we think something is working, but no one's tested it because there hasn't been that level of interest. Like nasal breathing, how effectively can just breathing through the nose protect us against viruses? These are tests that can be conducted, but they haven't been. So that's been a complete surprise, but the world interest in breathing has been a complete trip too. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that beyond it's obviously thrilling. One of my favorite things is to get these weird foreign editions and these languages I don't even recognize, you know, and see how they have interpreted curse words, English curse words, into their language. So that's been a fun time.
Well, if you, you know, get bored, you can always do that. But, you know, globally, it's so ironic to me, and I've heard other people ask you this, that the clarion call for the Black Lives Matter movement is, I can't breathe. In the same year that so many people couldn't breathe very well and it caused them to die. So how do you balance all that coincidence in your mind?
I don't try to look for some sort of cosmic connections. It's just, I think that this stuff has been brewing for so long. You know, the ultimate human right is our basic biological function of breath. And if we're denied that, we're going to be denied so much else. So I think that there has been this wave that has been building for decades, really. I mean, I was talking to researchers who have been researching breath and mouth breathing and nasal breathing and ADHD for decades. And they've been building this scientific foundation of this stuff. But I think COVID is the thing that really allowed this wave to start crashing. And better now than ever, as far as I'm concerned. I just happen to be lucky enough to pick this weird subject at a time before it had fully peaked, you know, and I spent years in it and I kept wondering, I was like, why have I not heard of any of this? So my, you know, as a science journalist, I would think this can't be real. These studies, there's something wrong with these 24 studies conducted at top universities and hospitals. Because if these are right, why don't I know about this? And why don't other people know about this? But science takes a very long time to change. And you can follow nutrition as a good analog for that. How long has it taken us to eat whole foods? About 100 years. We knew 100 years ago processed food was garbage. I will show you scientific papers.
100 years?
Yes.
Ago? Oh, I never knew
more
that.
More than that. Oh, I will show you books. Check out the books by James Sim Wallace in the 1880s and 1890s was warning us that this processed food was ruining our faces and destroying our health. And he was a legit Scottish medical researcher. His books are available for free on Google Books.
Somebody, how do you spell his last name?
James Sim Wallace. Wallace.
Oh, so the middle name is Sim. Okay, Wallace is the last name.
Check, right. Check out. So we've known this. Weston Price was saying this in the 30s. I mean, and still, when I was growing up, what was I eating? 100% packaged, frozen, processed crap. So it wasn't until somewhat recently, thanks to Michael Pollan and Gary Taubes, that and so many other authors and researchers that were like, something's wrong with this food pyramid. So it takes a while. And hopefully with new ways of disseminating information, this whole revolution and understanding and appreciating this free and simple thing of breathing will come about more quickly.
Breathing is a human right. I love that. I love that. Now, you know, we can talk to you forever. I know people have gone on and on, but we have to wrap it up. After this, we have Sandy Abrams, which is a breathing meditation expert. She goes around to corporations and teaches them how to do breathing exercises so I'll get along better and have healthy work, which is cool. But this is the Global Wellness Summit podcast, you know, so we believe. So, and you spoke at the summit. What is your message about breathing to true believers? What is your message?
Well, true believers are easy because they already got the message. But I think that the foundation of this is something doesn't need to be complex in order to work. How confusing is eating right now? It's more confusing now than ever. It doesn't have to be. And it reminds me of
paleo, keto, whatever. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And they're all saying, oh, keto's absolutely the way. No, actually, veganism is absolutely the way. So there's a quote I came across from Isaac Newton, who said, nature does nothing in vain when less will serve. For nature is pleased with simplicity and affects not the pomp of superfluous causes. So that's a long way of saying nature is simple yet subtle. And there could be nothing more simple and yet subtle as our breathing and adopting healthy breathing practices and seeing what it can do for our health.
Well, remember, we're going to see, just like the Global Wellness Summit trend said, just breathe. There's all kinds of high-tech breathing apparatus out there. There's breathing programs at resorts. But if we're going to take one thing away from James Nestor, who is giving his time and telling the world about this, I would say it's 5.5 in, 5.5 out. Is that right?
Whatever works for you. That's a great starting point, everybody. And then you can build on that foundation.
Okay, well, we're going to look forward to checking in with you again, James. We can't thank you enough. Keep up the good work. And remember, get a massage. Even though you're deep breathing, you deserve it, okay? We need to keep you going.
I'm going to take your word for that, and maybe I'll go do that this weekend. Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, James. Thank you. And now a word from this season's sponsor, Murad Skincare. This week, we'll be talking to an internal medicine specialist and TikTok phenom, Dr. Zion Coe Lam, who is also a guest editor for Murad's new online wellness magazine, Well Connected. We're with Dr. Zion Coe Lam. Can I call you Dr. Zion?
Of course.
Oh, good. Well, we should let our listeners know that not only are you a board-certified internal medicine physician who practices in North Carolina, but Vogue magazine says you're a standout among a group of new social media stars since the pandemic called medical influencers. And key to our sponsor, Murad Skincare, it was recently announced that you are among the science and wellness experts on Murad's first ever advocacy board. So, Dr. Zion, can you sum up your amazing professional life and what you do in a few sentences?
Of course. So, let me start with a little background about me because I think this will make a lot more sense. So I was born in Seoul, South Korea, and moved to America at the age of 10. And I was first interested in pursuing medicine when my dad was sick with colon cancer. So while in medical school, I ended up falling in love with preventative care and pursued internal medicine training. And during all of this healthcare, I was frustrated that it's focused only on physical health alone. So I sought out innovative ways to promote holistic wellness by utilizing both Eastern medicine principles passed down by my family and Western medicine from medical training. And last year, while working in the outpatient COVID clinics, I actually noticed that my own wellness was becoming overwhelmed. So I looked for a fun outlet in the midst of fear and uncertainty of this global pandemic and entered the social media scene. And where all my, I would say creativity and passion for skincare kind of flourished. So it definitely helped reinvigorate my own holistic flow. And I don't know how it happened, but I gained a good sized following on TikTok and Instagram. And it's been so humbling. Why and how did this happen to me? But the community itself has been amazing. The interaction I have with others, whether that be, you know, them reaching out with questions or telling me I've helped them in some ways through education or inspiration, has been most humbling. And, you know, the solidarity and hope we share together has really actually propelled me to become a better, well-rounded physician and a human.
Well, let me tell you a little bit of success. This pivot you did, Dr. Zion, during the COVID lockdown, you took your skincare to TikTok and Instagram, And all of a sudden exploded with 300,000 followers on the talk and about 250,000 on the gram. And, you know, your posts aren't just fun. My favorite is you dancing with your mom while revealing foods that are good for collagen, I think. But anyway, they're so chock full of info. But social media is just one platform for getting your message out. Tell us why you wanted to be a guest editor for a skincare magazine. Why did you think you'd be a good fit for Well Connected by Murad?
Yeah, so after an opportunity to speak with Dr. Murad, which let me just say he's an amazing man, and it was an humbling experience, but he laid out that the goal of the advocacy board was to address the brand's full body wellness ethos by kind of gathering a group of science and wellness experts. And I was humbled by the opportunity and accepted the position because it definitely aligned with my own goals. And, you know, it's my hope that we can transcend the brand and even skincare itself, and that together we can kind of push the society to rethink how we pursue wellness, redefine our definition of beauty, and empower our collective uniqueness.
I think those are lofty goals. Now, you know, for our listeners, you are an internist, and the book definition of an internist is the medical specialty dealing with prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of internal diseases. So from the inside out. Now, we know Murad has always advocated for total wellness and managing stress to achieve true skin health. Tell us how that philosophy rings true in your own life.
Absolutely. So we all know that physical stress affects our skin's health. So as an example, take a look at those who smoke or have had extensive unprotected exposure to sun, and even those with vascular disease such as uncontrolled diabetes, and taking care of those aspects of health are obvious. But what I think we're all realizing is that our mental, spiritual, and emotional dimensions also have an impact in our skin's health. And, you know, the most stressful time in my life was the first year of medical school. And the metaphor we use is trying to drink water from a fire hydrant.
And oh boy.
That sounds stressful enough. And, you know, 3 months into medical school, my dad was diagnosed with cancer again. And this required extensive surgery. For those who may know the name, it's called Whipple and partial gastrectomy. It's like the one that you always see in all the medical shows. And, you know, that was followed by chemo radiation. And it was like a year and a half of just craziness. And during that time, I didn't care about how my skin looked or how many acne outbreaks I was having. But what I did learn from that experience is that I got so caught up and so overwhelmed by my emotional and mental stress that I omitted time for self-care. I stopped meditating, I stopped exercising, and obviously had no skincare routine. And, you know, I call this my personal pandemic that came 8 years before the world's COVID pandemic. And, you know, that's one reason I was so passionate about being part of this community and raising awareness for holistic wellness and self-care during this time. And, you know, I personally use my skincare routine as a time for meditation that has had a profound impact on my mental and emotional wellness, while also providing time for self-care and self-love. So, you know, when we suffer from stress and anxiety, we fail to make good decisions. And self-care and self-love helps motivate us to make healthier choices in life.
Are you listening then, people? Self-care, self-love, and meditate while you're doing your skincare routine. How smart. You know, Dr. Zion, we see your theme for your upcoming guest editorship for Murad's Well Connected is skin health for Generation Now. And the topics you cover on your social media platforms are so wide-ranging. You know, the best ways to exfoliate, sunscreen, hangnail, skin tags, vitamin C. What's the story you're hoping to tell by being a guest editor for Well Connected by Murad?
Yeah. So it's my passion to be a global ambassador for holistic wellness to all. And this includes the young millennials and Generation Z. And with the Well Connected platform specifically, I hope to encourage others to prioritize self-love and self-care. Social media has become a powerful tool for community, but has also come with consequences of prioritizing these superficial likes and views of others. And it's my belief that if we take a step back and ensure that our personal, emotional, mental needs are met, the potential for what we can do as a community together is endless.
Oh, I love that hopeful positioning and positive. Dr. Koh, have you taken anything away or maybe even learned something about yourself in working with a science meets wellness brand like Murad?
Yeah. So what a humbling question. Of course. Every time I have the opportunity to interact with the folks at Murad, I leave the conversation more energized. And they're the perfect combination of professional meets creative. What I've taken away is hope. And, you know, if a global evidence-based brand like Murad is willing to tackle holistic wellness, who can stop us?
Well, you keep it up, because Murad could not be as powerful as they are without wonderful partners like you, who make it so fun to learn the smart tips about taking care of ourselves and, of course, our skin. Thanks a lot, Dr. Ko.
Thank you, Kim.
You know, here I am organizing the episodes for this season. And, you know we want to focus on some of the Global Wellness Summit trends and pillars. And then Michelle Gamble, our dear head of development for Global Wellness Summit, practically jumped through the phone when I mentioned I wanted to do an episode on the trend of breathing. And she said, oh my gosh, you have to interview Sandy Abrams. And I must say, each of the email interactions I've had with Sandy have been so full of energy and so positive. And today we're going to find out why. And we're going to see if maybe that might be a conscious decision for how you approach your day. Sandy Abrams, welcome to the Global Wellness Summit podcast.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I love the podcast and I'm honored to be on it.
Oh, well, we love having conversations with great minds like yours. You know, I started digging into your background and I found out that you lived a life of an entrepreneur. You turned a wellness product idea into a multi-million dollar business back in the 90s. Can you tell us what that was again?
Sure. It was called Moisture Jams. And it was just one of those silly things that happens where necessity becomes the mother of invention. I needed a better moisturizing glove than I could find in the marketplace. And so I created one. And then I just sort of learned as I went along how to build a business. I have a background and a degree in broadcast and journalism. Nothing about business or wholesale and retail, knew nothing about it. So I launched that in 1993 and it became, you know, one of those crazy things. We sold in all Bed Bath & Beyonds and H2O Plus and Bath & Body Works and did a lot of private labeling for Estee Lauder and worked with QVC and was one of those crazy things. So breath has helped me enjoy that roller coaster ride that is entrepreneurial life, where you never know what is coming at you next.
Yeah. Well, suffice it to say then, you did know the stresses of running a business. And so while our first guest, James Nestor, was all about the research and his findings after 4 years of studying the subject and interviewing breath tinkers around the world, what you've done is you've translated your epiphany of breath into applications for workplace wellness and life wellness, right? Tell us about your company. Is it called CEOM?
Yes, it's called the CEOM. And what that stands for is like a CEO, a chief executive officer, but a mindful one, sort of just playing on the word OM, which is that universal vibration. And yes, I come to breath from a completely different angle and perspective than James Nestor. I loved his book called Breath. And he's a journalist and I am a practitioner. As I mentioned, I've used breath for over 30 years. However, I never knew the how or the why behind it. And that's what James explains so well in his book. And when I wrote Breathe to Succeed, I felt called to share the tool of breath back, and it published in 2019. And so for the book, I did do a sort of deep dive into a lot of the science, the neuroscience behind the power of breath. So now I'm sort of fascinated with it. But for the past 30 years, all I knew is that it worked. It was from yoga. You know, these practices and philosophies have been around for thousands of years. So I didn't question them. I just experimented with them and I got to know the power of my breath, knowing that it was based in science and based on Eastern philosophies. But now I'm really interested and fascinated in people like James who have studied the science behind it.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated that, you know, 2020, when COVID that attacked the lungs, it's a respiratory, you know, breathing passageway disease. And James' book came out and it was an instant bestseller. And here you've been a pioneer, just like passing along what you've seen work for you. Because you said your book from 2019 is increasing workplace productivity, creativity, and clarity through mindfulness, which you get to through breath, right?
Exactly. For me, I feel like breath is an underutilized superpower that we all can access. I mean, that's the beauty of breath. It's an equalizer for well-being because every single human has access to it. And yes, pandemic definitely opened up our eyes to this gift that we have inside of us. And so I am on a mission now to share the power of breath for all different applications, whether it's well-being, mental health, whether it's creativity, clarity, success, whatever it might be. But we all have access to breath. And I love to say that it is free. It's organic. It's sustainable. It's available 24/7, 365. It's non-allergenic. It's non-GMO. It's vegan, it's paleo, it's kosher. I mean, what more do we want?
What more can you ask? So, you know, you took your enthusiasm in the midst of this crazy pandemic and you did a masterclass for the Global Wellness Summit. I think it was called Breathe In Optimism. And hundreds of people joined in, wellness seekers. What was your takeaway from that?
The takeaway from that and from so many other virtual workshops that I did over pandemic was that I'm sort of blown away by the fact that people forget about their breath because it's automatic. It's part of the autonomic nervous system, and we just do it whether we want to or not. So it's kind of, people think it's doing their job, but the feedback and the takeaway that I got from those workshops was, wow, I didn't realize how even just one deep breath can make me feel better, can boost my mindset and my energy. And simple tools like one deep breath or breathing in a certain way can really help you to control your nervous system. And so every day I share little tools on my Instagram usually, and I get messages from people that say, wow, this was so simple, but so powerful. Originally, I had written the book as a sort of antidote to our constantly connected tech-centric lifestyle. And then during pandemic, we experienced that times 10. And that's what made people realize that breath is such an amazing tool because it's immediate. It's something you don't have to wait for the exercise class at the end of the day or the meditation app. You can change your breath in any small moment. And all it takes is 30, 60, 90 seconds to change the chemistry in your body.
And I love some of these tips. We'll get to those later, but just like the other day, I was talking about an emotional topic in our neighborhood with the board director. And I was like, wait a minute, let's stop and take a breath. And isn't it wonderful to have that tool in your pocket? And I want to tell our listeners that your Instagram is Sandy Abrams, A-B-R-A-M-S. And, you know, they can get lots of tips that way. But, you know, back to your workshop with the summit, it was called Breathe In Optimism. Tell us more about the relationship. I just got done interviewing the optimism doctor, Deepika Chopra, who works with our sponsor, Murad. So tell us about the relationship between breath work and optimism.
Well, for me, it's a direct connection. Like I said, for entrepreneurial life, it was always like things were thrown at me every day. I had no idea about the problems that I was just about to have to deal with. And so optimism keeps your mindset in a place that makes everything seem like an incredible opportunity. Also, I love Dr. Huberman is a neuroscientist at Stanford, and he has this quote that says, our nervous system controls our experience within ourselves and also the way that we experience life. And so the power of breath helps us to control our nervous system. And that's connected to optimism. How you think and how you feel it depends on which part of your nervous system you're living in. And breath helps you decide and control. Do I want to be in the sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, which can have some good things to it as well. It can give you a boost of energy or adrenaline. But if you're only living in that sympathetic nervous system, which is what you live in, if you're only breathing in constant, shallow autopilot breath, if you decide to move to the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest part of your nervous system, then you can feel more calm more often. And you decide how you want to think and feel. So that's where breath comes in. You can tell yourself, no matter the level of stress, you can say to yourself, I am calm, I'm confident, I'm empowered, I'm ready. And you can literally breathe into that energy. And there are tools in the way that you breathe that will depend on, that will take you to either part of your nervous system. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. So we talked a minute about optimism and breath. Now, tell us what breath has to do with technology.
Well, breath is an incredible antidote to technology. So our mind is not wired for this 24/7 constantly connected to our devices. And how breath helps that is, that's my bird, by the way.
I love your bird in the background. It's so cool.
He's calming. So breath helps as an antidote to technology. And what I mean by that is that even quickly in small moments, maybe in between Zoom sessions or before you check your email, if you take just a moment to close your eyes, literally just close your eyes for a moment right now, maybe, what I found is that most people rarely ever close their eyes. And that helps to set that boundary and to sort of close off technology just for a moment so that you go inward. This is where you create your best mindset and energy. It's internally. And pandemic has had us so externally focused all the time that we've been in that fight or flight, that state of fear and uncertainty and what's next for the past 15 months, that now it's time to sort of step away a little bit from technology, reconnect to ourselves, and then reconnect to community and other humans in a different way, in a more mindful way. And so the pairing of closing your eyes to step away from your laptop or your phone for a little bit, and then simply inhaling through your nose and exhaling. It's like that one simple exercise is truly an antidote to technology. I mean, technology is a wonderful resource for us all day long to be productive and effective, but we need to take breaks from it. We're not wired for constant connection.
Here I am with a ring light, a headset, a microphone, a screen, and I just keep dreaming of when we're done that I'll be outside. But getting outside on the hike trails, I think in every way, even if someone is walking now listening to this podcast, just take a minute, stop and do that exercise. Stop somewhere safe, shut your eyes, right? What should you do with your arms when you breathe in?
Oh, there's so many different things. I mean, if you're walking, it's great to just, you know, keep them moving. If people stop, what I love in the mornings, especially, is to open my arms really wide. And then that opens your heart center. It opens your chest. You can sort of tap on your heart center, reconnect to yourself. Or you can, on the inhale, raise your arms up all the way above your head.
I'm doing it.
Right? It feels so good. It's like opening up your posture from texting and typing. And so we hold a lot of stress in our hands and our arms and our shoulders. So that's a great question that you ask. Like, yes, bring your arms into it and start to open your posture with your arms and then bring in oxygen. And you start each deep breath down at the belly. And when you use your arms to open up and you bring up the oxygen into your chest, you can really feel it and you can embody it much better. You're making room. You're improving your lung capacity. It's a whole body thing that just, it feels so good.
Who are some of your go-to resources for the science behind breath? Who do you follow or listen to?
I love Dr. Andrew Huberman. His Instagram is at Dr. Huberman, and he has an incredible podcast called The Huberman Lab, I think. But I feel like I've gotten a PhD in neuroscience from him. He doesn't specialize in breath, but I've learned so much about the brain and neuroscience. And there is a direct correlation with breath and the brain. And so I feel like I've gotten my PhD from him in the past year, listening to all of his stuff. So I would say he's definitely one of my go-to resources.
H-U-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N. Is
yes.
that right?
Okay. Huberman Lab. And okay. then I also just am a constant student of different breath modalities. I do a lot of, taking classes of in different ways. Like, I mean, there's a lot of different modalities for breath. There are things that are extreme, like Wim Hof, and I love that method. And I can sort of adapt it to my own level of breath and capacity. And then there's other breath modalities like Soma, or there's a lot of the things that James Nestor talks about in his book. So there's so many different modalities. So I love experimenting. I live in Los Angeles, as do you. And so there are so many different yoga studios and now breath studios and meditation studios. And I've become fascinated with the science. So I do like to learn more about the science, but I also like to just continuously learn about new practices. And I focus on things that I can do in the moment, that I can integrate into my schedule in a way that's called habit stacking. So habit stacking means that you stack a new habit like breath work on top of your already existing habits, like filling your water bottle or sitting down to answer emails or brewing your coffee in the morning. These are easy ways to integrate a new practice like breath work into your already very busy day. I mean, you can literally, every time you turn on your car, it can be a reminder, I'm going to do 1 minute of some deep nourishing breaths right now. Or people really love to do it when they're filling their water bottles or they're making their morning beverage. Those are things that you absolutely know you'll be doing every day. And so I suggest trying to get to know the power of your breath while you're doing other things. That way you don't need to set aside a chunk of time. You don't need to be still. You can just add it onto other things you're already doing.
And that reminds me, you know, they're talking about giving children and teenagers this tool because it is, like you said, so accessible, free, and at your disposal. So what is it like teaching children to breathe correctly?
Teaching kids breath is easy because you can make it fun. First of all, there's so many great names for different breaths that are named after animals. There's lion's breath and bumblebee breath, which I taught my kids when they were little. My kids are now 23 and 25, and they still love, especially lion's breath, which is an immediate release of negative or stagnant energy.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. So lion's breath looks like this. You close your eyes. Through your nose, you take a long, slow, deep inhale. And on the exhale, you bulge open your eyes, you stick out your tongue, and you let everything go. And I guarantee it makes your kids laugh, just like you laughed. Every time I do that in a corporate setting with adults, we all laugh. It just feels so good. And it helps to show children or teenagers that you have control of your nervous system, that you can help to control how you feel. So if something made you feel sad or unhappy or angry or frustrated as a kid, this is just a great tool that parents can teach children to immediately release it and then talk about it or think about it from a better place.
So let's do that again, followed by the bumblebee breath. So okay. What do we do?
So lion's breath is closing your eyes. And it's important to take the inhale through your nose. I'll explain that why later. Inhaling through your nose. And then on the exhale, you bulge open your eyes, you stick out your tongue, and you forcefully exhale. And you can shake out your hands. You can shake out your body. You make it your own. That's the great thing about breath is you customize it in ways that feel good to you so that you want to come back to it day after day. But I hope that people will listen to this and then share it with children, teenagers, even adults, because that's one that you can do morning, noon, night, in your car, in the bathroom, anywhere, and it just feels good.
And changes the energy. Now, what does Bumblebee do?
So Bumblebee Breath is a great tool for clearing too many open tabs in your mind. Right? You get that?
I do.
Clears your mind and also opens your mind to creativity. This is a great tool for brainstorming sessions before writing an article or making a speech. Our brain actually needs a sort of clear canvas in order to tap into our creativity. That's why, you know, you've heard people say, I had my aha moment in the shower or while I was walking on the beach. It's because we were in that default mode, that blank slate mode where our mind felt it had enough room to bring in new ideas and feel creative. So Bumblebee Breath looks like this. Again, you're sitting comfortably. Your spine is tall. Your shoulders are up and back. You close your eyes through your nose, long, slow, deep inhale. And then on the exhale, you take your thumbs, you gently close your ears, you'll cover your eyes. And on the entire length of the exhale, you make a humming, buzzing sound like a bee. So it sounds like this. And you just keep on going for the entire length of the exhale. So I'll do one together with you now.
Okay.
Again, we'll sit up, get our posture ready, close eyes through your nose, long, slow, deep inhale. Gently close your ears, cover your eyes, and make that humming, buzzing sound for the whole length of the exhale. And then hopefully you have felt this buzzing inside of your mind that actually clears out. It dissipates all of the open tabs in your mind. You can repeat that 2 or 3 times. If it makes you feel a little lightheaded, just do one and then just wait 20, 30 seconds, breathe normally in between and do another one. So again, that's just a quick, easy, powerful tool.
Wow. Now, I need to know, you've done these sorts of exercises with so many companies like Capital One, LegalZoom, Weight Watchers, who else? Facebook, Google, CAA Talent Agency. What is the common denominator or kind of reaction among all of those?
Again, that it's sort of like, wow, I had no idea. People think of breath work as sort of woo-woo out there, abstract, for people burning incense and chanting, you have to be a monk, you have to be, you know, whatever. No, I have this business sensibility about breath because I came to it through yoga, yes, but I took it off the mat and into my very fast-paced life. So I think what resonates with all of the big corporate workshops that I do is that these are busy people. There are people that are stressed. They're often living in shallow autopilot breath. And they're excited when they learn that they don't have to sign up for another course or get another app, that they have this power within them that can make them feel better, make them feel more creative, make them communicate better, make them feel a sense of clarity, more connected to themselves and their priorities and their purpose. They become more mindful day in and day out because you get immediate results and you also have long-term results. So that when you are in that moment of stress, moment of challenge, you can immediately, without anyone even knowing, start to tap into your breath, lengthen it, go into relaxation breath mode. And so nobody's even the wiser, but you can do these breath tools while you're in a meeting or things like that. So that's why people in the corporate sector, people in technology, people who have a high stress, high paced life, they appreciate the power of breath in small moments. It's science. I mean, it works. It is not woo-woo, weird, hippie stuff. It's neuroscience. And there is a quote from a yoga teacher that's an old quote that I love. And it says that the mind is the king of the senses, but the breath is the king of the mind. That was Iyengar, right? Exemplifies the point that breath transforms energy. And it is the king of the mind, that you are the director of your body and aligning your mind and body and helping yourself feel your best mindset and energy more often than not.
Well, you know, I was mentioning to James Nestor that there are traditions that include breath, whether we know it or not. And I was thinking, you know, in the old days, you used to say grace before a meal as a family. And it was quiet time. It was meditative time. It was time to take stock and reflect and, you know, give credit where due. But what tips can you give for a family or going through life off work times to incorporate breath, like say for a couple?
I think that's a great question. And it's breath is both preventative and healing. So you can use it as a tool to prevent illness, just like you make choices all day long about what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? And it's healing for things like stress, anxiety, fear. So as a family, I think it's wonderful to just talk about the power of breath to maybe before dinner now, either before or after grace, maybe you all say, let's take 3 deep breaths together too, because breath is energy. And if everyone that's at your dinner table just takes even 1 deep breath together, you will feel the collective energy change. And then you're more connected to everyone that you're breaking bread with. And this is why it's also important. You can do this in meetings or you can do it by yourself, but it's energy. It's your inner beauty comes from breath. That's how you create your energy. And so I love that question because I think it should be a family practice or practice with friends or colleagues, whatever it is. Whenever you're with someone, just ask them, have you taken a deep breath today? If not, let's do it now so that you can be more fully present in the moment with people. And you'll start to realize how much better that feels when you're fully present with someone.
Well, I love that. I love that suggestion. I also want to talk a minute about your art installation and at a shopping center that reminded people to breathe. What was that?
So yes, I decided to create a sort of art installation because I wanted to get out of my corporate workshops and try to share the idea of breath as a superpower in community spaces. And so I created life-size letters that spell out the word breathe. And it just so happens that breathe has 7 letters and we have 7 energy centers in our body. And so I took those corresponding, also known as chakras, and I made each letter the correct color that's associated with each chakra or energy center. And then I also put the words associated with each energy center on each letter. So it was a really beautiful installation. And the letters are tall, taller than me, over 5 feet tall and a few feet across. And we put it across the lawn at a community outdoor shopping and dining place here in Los Angeles, so that people would just walk by. And I spent a lot of time up there during the week. I worked with Athleta brand.
And which was ideal for that, yeah.
Ideal for that. And they wanted to kick off Mental Health Awareness Month, which was May. And so I spent a lot of time out with the letters and just people would walk by and say, what is this? And we're in LA, so a lot of people were familiar with breathing and breath work. But it made them stop and take a deep breath or talk to me about breath. And I loved hearing from children who were with their mom and we would take a lion's breath. Or I would breathe with someone who was a great grandma and had no idea about breath tools. So at this time, everybody is much more open-minded about breath post-pandemic. And so it was a really great experience. And I hope to get out there more with the Breathe Art and just utilize it as a sort of public service reminder for people to just pause and breathe.
Okay. So Sandy, I can't think of a better way to end our episode. I mean, we started with all the Brainiac research with James Nestor and all his in the field experience. And you took that ball and ran with it. And you're giving people tools for everyday life. So if you have three tips to share with our listeners to incorporate deep, mindful breathing into their day, what would it be? I'll hold my fingers up. Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, start in the morning. There is no better time than to reconnect to yourself in the morning and to just quickly touch base with, what do I need to get done today? What are my priorities? What's my purpose today? And just take three deep breaths or a lion's breath in the morning to start your day off on that right foot. Don't start it off by picking up your phone and letting someone else decide how you're going to feel for the day. Use the morning to reconnect to yourself first. The second thing would be that it's never too late to rewire your brain with a new positive habit. So often we all have negative dialogue that we've had on loop, on repeat in our mind for decades. And so it's never too late to realize that is not serving you. And each time that negative thought pops up, replace it with breath and a nourishing mantra. Like, say something kind to yourself and take a few deep nourishing breaths with that. And the third thing is to realize this superpower is yours and that it is always with you and that there isn't any excuse. You can fit it into your day, because even if it just means taking one or two or three deep breaths with your eyes closed, I promise if you set your alarm for three times a day and you do that, within a span of a week, your body's going to begin to crave it. It becomes second nature. And then you are creating your best mindset and energy throughout the day so that you feel your best. And then that energy is contagious. So you're sharing it with your loved ones and your colleagues and strangers. And you just have this energy that feels good for you and also feels good to be around. I can't say enough about the healing and empowering power of breath.
Listen, now you guys know why I said it was her enthusiasm and positivity is so contagious. Right now, I'm going into a starfish position and I'm going to stay here for about five more minutes. Sandy, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap, my friends. The last show of this season. Special thanks to the fabulous Pulmonauts we interviewed today, James Nestor and Sandy Abrams, and to our wonderful sponsor, Murad Skincare. It was so much fun to create Murad Spots this time by interviewing the big shot influencers that are also guest editors of their online wellness publication, Well Connected. It's been quite the ride, interviewing so many experts for this season. I swear, I feel like I'm getting my master's degree via a podcast. Oh, an important show note, the 2021 GWS trends have been updated in a mid-year report that you'll find on globalwellnesssummit.com. If you like today's discussion, wait till you read about the new breath tech on the market. And still more news. Remember, this year's summit will take place in one of America's first cities, Boston, Massachusetts. The virtual and in-person event will be held November 30th to December 3rd at the Encore Boston Harbor, a Wynn resort, where global leaders will come together to discuss a new era of health and wellness, the shift from care and treatment toward proactively improving health. We're going to take a little break in the next few weeks and prep for an all-new season for the only podcast dedicated to exploring the latest industry research and the real-world impact of evidence-backed wellness trends. If you enjoy our show, we'd really appreciate a review or referring us to your friends, since wellness is one of those gifts that keeps on giving. This is Kim Marshall from Swell the Agency. Can't wait to get together again.